Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is... Oh my goodness, we gotta do it, gotta do it. Tradition is tradition. That's right. It's Evil Weasel Wednesday. It's the 21st day of March, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 48 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 50 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we're looking at rain coming in, I mean a heavy rain, and then like 3 or 4 days of snow to follow it with 4 to 6 inches, I think they said, on Friday or Saturday. It's just, it ain't looking good. That being said, let's see what's on the itinerary today. Oregon liberals file confiscation ballot measure. This should be interesting. We'll get into it as soon as we return from these words from Drockton Bullion and Coing.
We're going to talk about true wholesale pricing. So this is one of the largest online retail sellers of gold and silver. So notice we're looking at the 1 ounce American Eagle right here, priced as low as $1,876. We go a little lower though, and we see that in order for you to get that price, you have to buy over 500 ounces of silver to get to $1,876. If you're only buying 1 to 20, you're going to be paying $1,976. And if you buy up to 100, you pay $1,946. If you buy up to 499, you pay $1,916. So the only way you're going to get $1,876 is if you are buying at least 500 ounces. So this is another competitor. I want to show you this. Again, one of the major sellers of gold and silver on the internet. Now take a look at this. If you're going to buy 1 to 19 ounces, you're going to pay $1,977 per ounce, $1,977. And if you're going to pay or do 100, you're going to be paying $1,947. Now let me show you what true wholesale pricing is going to do for you. So right here, do you see that number, $18.07 per ounce? That is what you're going to pay with the Drockton Bullion Wholesale Club. Not 1977, not 1887. You're going to pay $18.07 per ounce. That's cost. That's true cost. You need to take a look at this, because here's the thing. If you buy 20 ounces today and you didn't do it through my wholesale club, you just overspent, because you just spent $34 more than you had to. Time to save money, my friends. Come to DrocktonBullion.com. Let me show you what our wholesale pricing could do for you.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. Oregon liberals file gun... No, Oregon... The communists... California communists... file gun confiscation ballot measure in Oregon. I mean, this is what we're talking. This is from Gateway Pundit. It was sent in by Jim for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. As the lying anti-gun hysterical types try to tell us, nobody's coming for your guns anyway. They file a ballot measure petition in Oregon that would do just that. And, well, you know, this is, you remember back when they just wanted the expanded background checks here, and then that's all they wanted. And then all they wanted was, you know, that, what the hell is it, where you, domestic, petition to come get, you know, so your relatives or a cop could come get your gun. That's all they wanted. I mean, this is just the reality of it, people. And I mean, man, they want to write this down on a piece of paper and now we need to sign it. And then we need to get on with the goddamn party. Let's do this thing that promote safety, promote public safety for all through the reduction of assault weapons and large capacity magazines initiative has been filed with the Oregon Secretary of State's office and will require 88,000 signatures in order to make it to the 2018 general election. And you know, this state here, the election, hasn't been shit in 20 years. There hasn't been a true election in this country since they got rid of the ballots and went to this mail-in thing. And we've went over that before. You know, the secret ballots, you know, when you put your secret ballot in a secret envelope and send it in, and there's nothing to connect it to you. So, I mean, they're in a good place to really put this through, and but they're in a bad place to try and enforce it. And that's what we need them to do. We need them to, if the Oregon is to be, or even here where I live, is to be the next Concord, let it be. Let it be. This shit has to get it. These guys, this doesn't scare me. You know, like the guy who called from Illinois the other day. Oh, man, everybody's got to call up and beg the governor, don't sign. Fuck you. I want you to do this. I want this out of my life. I want a chance to get it, you goddamn communists. I want you. I want some. 88,000 signatures in order to make it to the 2018 general election ballot. The chief petitioners are, and write these names down if you live in Oregon, because these are people that need a trial and they need a rope. This is Walter John Knutson. That is K-N-U-T-S-O-N. AKA WJ Mark Knutson, whatever in the hell that means. That must be a communist second name. I don't know what the hell you'd call it. Maybe that's his secret squirrel name. Michael Z. Kahanan. That's C-A-H-A-N-A. That'll do it. And Allison E. Boozer. That's B-O-O-Z-E-R. I mean, right, this is blatant, in-your-face, goddamn communist attack on our second article, and by God, we'll meet it. We're ready. Some key parts of the text include defining what an assault weapon is. And, I mean, this all is horse shit. All of this, right, I mean, it doesn't matter. This is all irrelevant. The second article is the second article. It says what it says, and we're going to shoot your commie asses out of our state and out of our country. That's the bottom line. It don't matter what you write on that piece. Just put down, we're going to come take your guns and all your guns, everyone, BB guns, write it down on there. It's okay. We're not getting excited about this. Write it down. And then when you need to come and do it. And you people in Oregon, man, you need to get yourselves ready. If they're going to do this, let's do it, man. Let's do it right. Let's let every house they come up to, every, you know, especially the rural residents, anywhere they come up to, man, don't just be waiting on them. Be waiting with a goddamn ambush. See how many you can put down in your own little fight there. Let's show these son of a bitches what we're made of. Anyway, some key parts of the text include defining what an assault weapon is. 1. Section A. Assault weapon means any semi-automatic rifle that has the capacity to accept a detachable magazine and has at least one of the following. Any grip of the weapon, including a pistol grip, a thumb hole, stock, or any other stock, the use of which would allow an individual to grip the weapon, resulting in any finger on the trigger hand, in addition to the trigger finger being directly below any portion of the action of the weapon when firing. Pfft, fuck you. I mean, come on, please, do it. You dirty, rotten, communist son of a bitches. I mean, this, like I said, this is no fear. This is frickin' anger. You need to come and do it, you punk bastard, sons of bitchin' spineless punks. You ain't going to do shit. You're a bunch of cowards. I'm a daring you. Semi-automatic pistols or any semi-automatic centerfire or rimfire rifle with a fixed magazine that has the capacity to accept more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Come on, commie. Let's get some. Let's do this thing. That would pretty much ban every single gun out there. This would include the legendary Ruger 10/22 rifle, 22 caliber, every semi-auto pistol, because it's possible for someone to design a magazine to hold more than 10 rounds for even the smallest of pistols, and the classic Marlin Glenfield Model 60 22 designed in 1959, which holds 14 rounds in a fixed tubular magazine. There's lots more of tubular magazines. I had an old, I think Art's got it, but the first 22 I ever had, it held, I think it held, shit, it seemed like it held 18. It was a Savage. They continue to define an assault weapon as also including a pistol that has a folding, telescoping, or thumb hole stock. Now, this was funny. If Knudsen, Kahanan, and Boozer had any idea what they were talking about, they'd know that there is no such thing as a pistol with a stock. What it is, you know, they're doing this, and the reason they're going about it this way is because they know when they announce this is going to be the big middle finger, the California howdy to every son of a bitch in one of them. And they, but they're, see, there's no, it ain't like they're putting a force together to come out and they're just going to start going and picking. Nobody's going to do this. But what it is, you know, you get stopped at a traffic stop, or they come in for your, to your house illegally for some phony call or what have you, and they see the gun. This is how they figure they're going to start doing this shit. Don't let them do it. Nuh-uh. You got to understand that when they come, it's for all the potatoes, man. Just light their asses up. Leave them dead. I mean, shit, if you're out in the rural areas, take and bury the son of a bitches out in the woods. Let them try to figure out what happened to them. Then they can send the next son of a bitch. This is a blatant, in-your-face. This is raw tyranny. This is a violation of the second article, the third, because this is also what people don't realize. This is the end of your due process. This is the end of the Bill of Rights. They're telling you, we're communists, shove your Bill of Rights, we're taking over here. We don't have the guts to do any goddamn thing, but we think that we can hire an army or maybe bring in an outside army to enforce it. Do it! Do it! Where were we? Assault weapon, thumb hole stock, Boozer had any idea what they were talking about, they'd know that there is no such thing as a pistol with a stock. Well, they don't. They're just communists. They're writing this shit down. Do it. Do it. Do it. If you add a stock to a pistol, it becomes a short-barreled rifle. So the actual crime would be a person commits the crime of unlawful possession or transfer of an assault weapon or large-capacity magazine if the person manufactures, imports, possesses, purchases, sells, or transfers any assault weapon or large-capacity magazine. Well, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to exercise our second article right, and we're going to do it in the form of blowing your fucking heads right off your shoulders. There's going to be nothing left but just meat hanging up there where that 12-gauge took off your goddamn head, or that 44 Magnum, or that 308, or that 7mm, just whatever we decide to shoot your commie asses with. This is communism, and this is communists standing up in your face. It is your duty as an American national to shoot their asses down, to do what your forefathers did at Concord Bridge. You say, come on, come here and get some, you son of a bitch. This dirty whore up there in Salem, I can't think of her goddamn name, unelected bitch. These communists that have invaded our state here in Oregon. Well, you know what? You need to get your goddamn gear on. You pricks up there in the Oregon legislature, you need to get your gear on. Or else you're going to have to find you some fumble bum, dumb son of a bitches who want to come out and try and enforce your bullshit on the rest of us. Man, I'm telling you what, this is enough to make you just fucking want to get aggressive about this. I mean, we should be marching down there. We should take these dirty communist sons of bitches, these goddamn seditious, treasonous bastards, out into the goddamn public, just right out there. Try them right in the fucking street. Put the goddamn, set up a bench right there in the goddamn street for the world to see it. Try them, take them over and lynch them from the goddamn lamppost. That's what needs to be happening right now. We shouldn't be, I mean, at this point, to be waiting on this. This is not like there's something they're trying to sneak you around. They have announced their intent and stepped up. We should be fucking putting their asses down. No two ways about it. That's right. Even if you've owned a Ruger 22 or a World War I era 1911 since the 1970s, you would be a felon overnight. Well, I guess you're going to have to come get you some felons, aren't you? That is, unless, of course, you want to register your 22. The petition adds any person who, prior to the effective date of this law, was legally in possession of an assault weapon or large-capacity magazine shall, within 120 days after the effective date of this 2018 Act, without being subject to prosecution, remove the assault weapon or large-capacity magazine from the state. I'm not going to do it. Sell the assault or large capacity magazine to a firearms dealer licensed under Title 18 USC 923 for lawful sale or transfer under subsection 2 of this section. We're not going to do it. Surrender the assault weapon or large capacity magazine to a law enforcement agency for destruction. Ain't going to do it. Render the assault weapon permanently inoperable. Ain't going to do it. if eligible, register the assault weapon. Never, ever, ever in this goddamn world will it happen. Or large capacity magazine with the department as provided. It's like, fuck you, commie, scumbag, sons of bitches, come and get them. There's also a 120-day rule for anyone who moves into the state with a previously lawfully owned assault weapon, of which keeping the firearm is not an option. As there is no registration option, your only options are to sell them or turn them in. Ain't gonna do it. Now, see, this is the proof. I mean, this is the hardcore goddamn. This is the California fucking communists up here in our face, people. You Oregonians, you gotta be listening to me, aren't ya? We've told you all along what these dirty communist sons of bitch and snakes were up to. And now because you've lollygagged around and you've accepted it and you've just bent with the wind, now it's going to get dirty. It's going to get ugly. And it needs to. It needed to a whole goddamn long time. This has gone way, goddamn, this is way far. Our founders, they're rolling over in their graves. It's gone this far. You've let him take you right back to Lexington and Concord, is what you have done here in this United States. To pretend this is not infringement? If you step over a state line, your guns are whoo, poof, you can't have, woohoo. That's not infringement. That's gun safety. Well, we're going to show you some fucking gun safety. We're going to show you what gun safety is all about. Violation of any of these is a Class B felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison. If you live through the arrest, you son of a bitch. For owning something as minuscule as a piece of plastic. The measure goes on to say the department shall maintain a registry of the information obtained by it in pursuit of Section 5 and 6, Section 3 of this 2018 Act and shall adopt rules concerning. You ain't getting taping no fucking records. You ain't making no goddamn list. You're going in the goddamn ground. You are going to, when we capture your asses, you will get your trial. But you better believe your ass, you're going to hang. You're going to hang for treason, high treason against the people of the United States of these Americas. You are going to hang. You're going to fucking die. Every goddamn one of you. And shall drop rules concerned the administration of the registry, including, we're going to register. We're just going to, man, I love these son of a bitches. These, I mean, you walk up to them, they would run the other way. And these are the ones that we talked about yesterday, 911. I mean, they're scared of their own fucking shadow. But they get back there in a dark room and they think they can write down on a piece of paper and then go mail it over there and then go mail it over to the troops and tell them troops to go do that. Well, if you're one of the fools that thinks you want to come and take people's guns, you're going to fucking die, period. You're going to die. Get it through your head. We are going to kill every single one of you. You treasonous scum. Yes, that's right. This department that is often mentioned will adopt rules regarding revocation procedures and arbitrary storage requirements. Do you think see, this is what we were talking about yesterday. You know, the Australian gun. And see, you know, this just shows you the complicity of that son of a bitch that you morons went out there and put it. With Hillary, we'd have got this all in a big, quick dose, and we'd probably already be fighting. But with the Donald, you know, you went out there and you fell for the carnival barker. Well, you know, he just signed on to that new budget with the new gun restriction or the expanded background checks or whatever in the hell it was. He signed right on. The dirty, treasonous piece of trash. And see, the bottom line here is the federal government, I mean, their number one duty, remember when they were selling this Constitution to the people? When they were, so their number one duty, always, absolutely, one number one duty is to make sure your fucking rights aren't violated. I mean, you saw it in the 60s when they wanted to operate under the 14th Amendment and replace your God-given natural rights with civil liberties and, what do they call it, civil rights instead of your guaranteed absolute rights under the Bill of Rights. When they wanted to replace it, remember they sent National Guard or they sent troops up into the South, didn't they? Up to them schools to make sure the black kids could go in. Remember, they took guns and went into another state to enforce the law. The number one charge of this guy, when this shit was sold to our people back in 17 and 89, the number one thing, what we always will thrive to do and we will always do, number one is protect your rights. But you're going to see cooperation across the board. That's what this bombing shit there in Texas and all this stuff's about. Coordination from the federal right down to the local communists on your goddamn street with the jackboots on. That's all right. Because we'll kill goddamn federal communists as quick as we'll kill state communists. We will kill communists from sun up to sundown. We will kill them through the night using night vision. We will kill every fucking communist that wants to come up against us, and we will empty him out of this goddamn country. We're not Australia. We're not Canada. This is the United States of, by God, America. And we're going to shoot your asses off. I mean, they deserve to die just for this coming out of their filthy fucking mouths. I swear to God they do. They deserve to die. They should be tried for treason just for saying this, for writing it down on a piece of paper. This in the country that our founders gave us. The day after they gave it to us, you'd have wrote this down on a piece of paper, your ass would have hung. Believe it. This is how incrementally they have pushed it to this point to where they'll come right out and say something like this to our goddamn faces. You do it, you sons of bitches. Please. I want this over with. I don't want to die leaving this to the next generation like the last generation and the generation before that did to me. I want it done. And I know of plenty of people that want it done who are more than willing to. I mean, like I said, this goes beyond just a defense kind of thing. This is, you dirty son of a bitch. I want you now. I want some. But you see the bitch up there in Salem and the dirty, this Knutson son of a bitch. These people won't be the ones going out there. They think that they can sit back there and watch just the send Americans out. Well, not Americans, because they've been pumping a foreign population in here just for this purpose. But send somebody else out to do their fighting because they are yellow son of a bitches. And then if, you know, shit goes bad for them, I guarantee you they got an escape plan out of this country. But I don't really give a shit. When we take this country back, wherever you flee to, you communist dirtbags, I don't, well, let's just pretend it's New Zealand. You fled to New Zealand. Or you, I don't give a shit where you fled to. They will be given 24 hours, and there ain't going to be no extradition treaties or any of this shit. 24 hours or you're getting a goddamn ICBM up your ass. Period. You deliver them up. And once this, maybe we have to fire one or two to get the point across. But once we do, listen to me, you dirty son of a bitch and communist. You're coming back. You're going to be presented to us. And we're going to take our time. When you look at, go back and look at the old footage from Nuremberg where the guys are just shaking. Their whole bodies are convulsing because they know they're getting ready to get their asses hung. They know that they're done. And I'm telling you, we're going to make it. We're not going to hurry this up. Not for you. We're gonna talk this through real good. We're gonna have a nice long trial. We're gonna outline so that you understand that, geez, Christ, you know, that's cruel and unusual punishment. No, not if that jury says I can do it because you stepped over the fucking line of decency. You stepped over the line of where we treat you fair. You have committed atrocities upon our people. That, therefore, it's going to look a little strange, and some people are going to cringe when they see those orders to have your goddamn eyelids stapled to your fucking forehead before you go up on the gallows, so that you have to watch yourself shit yourself as you drop through that chute. You are going to die, every goddamn one of you, and it don't matter if you get me, because I just represent one person in about, oh, I'd say 40 million who are fed up with you. Who have had a gut full of you. And I'll tell you what, the rest of that 100 million that are armed are going to come around to our way of thinking real fucking fast, because they're going to see that we're way more dangerous than you ever thought about being. They are going to come into line with our Bill of Rights, with our law. They are going to obey the law. They are going to step up to enforce the law. And it is going to be enforced. Oh, let's see, where are we here? If eligible, register the assault weapon. Right. There are also 120-day rule. We did that. Opt to register. We're not doing that. Violation of these, a Class B felony, whoop-de-doo. The measure goes on to say the department shall maintain a registry, and you ain't going to get that. We pretty much covered that. Anyways, fuck you. Come and get it. Austin bombing suspect killed in Texas explosion. And if you've been following this at all, man, the big manhunt. And, you know, I don't know what the hell happened in Texas. Like, I don't know what the hell happened in Florida. Like, I don't know what the hell happened in Sandy Hook. I just know that these are government-run operations, or they wouldn't be happening at all. And this is from WTVR, and it was sent in by Angel for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. A suspect in a wave of bombing attacks in Austin killed himself inside his car with an explosive device early Wednesday as authorities closed in. Police said, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if this guy did it. I don't know if they run an operation, and this guy here was, you know, he was a homeschooled kid, and just everybody liked him and everything. Maybe this is the kind of people. I mean, if you think about it like this, if the goddamn Mossad wanted to come in here just to run a series of bombings to scare the shit out of the people and make them, oh, we need that goddamn government. We need to, oh God, who else could stop them but the goddamn FBI? We need it. Come on, Mueller and Scully, come save us. And run that operation, blowing the shit out of people for a few, you know, for 19 days or whatever it is. And then finally, you know, they're already set on who their patsy's going to be. They already planted the shit in his house. They already got the motel room in his name. A guy looks just like him, don't you know? Just like there at the Mandalay. They already got all the stuff there for the frame up. And they just go up into him and kill him or throw a grenade through the window and with him. Oh, he blew himself up. Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore, people. We're at war. And in war, there's going to be, I mean, like we were talking yesterday, they're talking about, oh, Jesus, good man, 17 people killed. Shit. That won't even start out the morning when this shit gets rolling. And there'll be, the people are going to die by the goddamn millions. And it's not my fault. And it's not most of the people listening to my voice's fault. It's the fault of the generations before us. We can blame our great grandfathers for this one. In 1933, when those communist son of a bitches, when Roosevelt, stood up there and says, some of my best friends are communists. He should have hung the next fucking day. It was their negligence, blatant negligence, that's going to cost millions of their progeny their lives. And when we go to set this thing back a right, we're going to set it back a right, the right way. It's going to be set back a right to where it can never be undone, to where the first sign of it, somebody's dangling from a rope. So that we don't let this happen again to a generation of our people who get no fucking life. I hope all you son of a bitches that went before me enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it while you were selling me out. And I gotta believe that the founders back in the, I'm not talking about the goddamn aristocrats. I'm talking about the men that went out and bled the ground with their blood to get this country. I'm sure they're real proud of you. You cowards. So now we have to have a generation of my generation, where most of us, millions of us are going to have to die over this shit because of you. And I hope that this recording of today survives so that somewhere down the line, somebody can say, you know, check what this guy said. You're letting this shit happen. The whole thing, you had a generation back in 1700s that fought for their progeny, for their future, their children's children who they would love. I never want to see them, you know, denied their freedoms and their liberties or put into a goddamn killing machine because of some weak people among us. When this thing is over with, weak people are not going to be allowed here. You show any weakness, your ass will be out of here. And if that will be, I mean, that's one thing that will be added. Nobody might not like it. I really don't give a shit. If you're weak, get the fuck out. You have no business being in these United States. We're a strong people. We're a free people. We can do for ourselves. We don't need no goddamn nanny state. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. Stay tuned for this message from Drockton Bullion and Coin.
We're going to talk about true wholesale pricing. So this is one of the largest online retail sellers of gold and silver. So notice we're looking at the 1 ounce American Eagle right here. Priced as low as $1,876. We go a little lower, though, and we see that in order for you to get that price, you have to buy over 500 ounces of silver to get to $1,876. If you're only buying 1 to 20, you're going to be paying $1,976. And if you buy up to 100, you pay $1,946. If you buy up to 499, you pay $1,916. So the only way you're going to get $1,876 is if you are buying at least 500 ounces. So this is another competitor. I want to show you this. Again, one of the major sellers of gold and silver on the internet. Now take a look at this. If you're going to buy 1 to 19 ounces, you're going to pay $1,977 per ounce. $1,977. And if you're going to pay or do 100, you're going to be paying $19.47. Now let me show you what true wholesale pricing is going to do for you. So right here, do you see that number? $18.07 per ounce. That is what you're going to pay with the Drochten Bullion Wholesale Club. Not 1977, not 1887. You're going to pay $18.07 per ounce. That's cost. That's true cost. You need to take a look at this, because here's the thing. If you buy 20 ounces today and you didn't do it through my wholesale club, you just overspent, because you just spent $34 more than you had to. Time to save money, my friends. Come to DrochtenBullion.com. Let me show you what our wholesale pricing could do for you. This is...
Seemed dumber and they either wear an R or a D. I gave up on cable, cause you know there ain't nothing to see. Real people with cameras have become the only truth on TV. And it's a shame, cause who's to blame is the biggest criminality. Contracts were made to protect what the creator gave. Was fought, side fought by those who buy and sell the slave. I was told, face bold to the ones to be convinced they're brave. Once more, that few selects gets to fill the grave. Well, I learned history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Bear that's sleeping. He said, don't come for my gun, and I won't shoot you. Means to give it the respect that it needs. Gun control with my pistol means I hit the target and the clip feeds. My rights from the creator are a no conditions guarantee. No need to push the limit and find out why that's America's creed. I made that promise to the Constitution and what it means. I pledge an oath to allow for what my grandkid will dream. If I don't have tomorrow, I know they'll find my Browning is clean. Don't come for my gun if you think that I hate all that I've seen. I heard history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Dumb down our kids. There's MK Ultra, AIDS and SIDS, chemtrail clouds, GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against whatever they're from. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I learned history, Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Don't piss off the grizzly bear that's sleeping.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a is a listener sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:39 Pacific time, and that was, oh, I got it here. I wrote it down. I did it. It's called Theranomaly by Theranomaly. Don't come for my guns. Well, they're coming. And it's time to put up or shut up. It's time to separate the men from the boys, or the girls in this case, as what a lot of the men have become. You know, I was thinking about it during the break, and a lot of people are, you know, constantly asking, how could you? We just let it just slip away. How did it just, you know, people turn coward? Or, you know, you're looking for the cowardice in it. But, you know, it's complicity. I think, you know, the whole time I was growing up, my grandfather, on my mom's side, Roy Foster, he was an Irishman from his carrot top down to his toes. He worked in the mines. He went in the mines when he was 12 years old. He was in his first cave-in when he was 16 years old, trapped down in the mines. He had been in two cave-ins in the time he spent down in the mines. The second one, his best friend, they ran a coal cutter, a slag dropped down and killed him right beside him, hurt my grandfather too. But, I mean, he was a man of very few words. I mean, my whole life, until, you know, from the time I was just a little kid until I was 16 years old, if I heard him say 100 words, I'll eat my hat. The only person I ever seen him talk to was my dad. He loved my dad. But, I mean, most people, he didn't have no care to talk to nobody. I mean, he drank his fifth of whiskey every frickin' day when he got off work. And he worked his ass off all of his life. And I went back there when I was, like, 16 years old. I rode a bus back there. I did get away from here for a while. I couldn't stand this place at the time. And so, you know, I'm there. And, of course, there's a room waiting for me at my grandfather's house. And so, I was staying there in the city. Where he lived, and I had my other family out on the farm. I could go out there too, but he wanted me to come there. And you know, I was his oldest blood grandson, and he treated me so good. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'd never even known him really all my life, but he gave me money, gave me the keys to his pickup, told me to go to town, you know, do whatever I wanted to do. And intentionally, you got little projects, like you would take two or three lawnmowers, make one that runs. Would you? Sure, Grandpa. I'd love to. And he wanted to do things with me. He never got to spend any time with me because I lived all the way out here. And one day, he went. We were there doing some shit and thing. I can't remember what it was, but my grandfather, I mean, he kept, he had goddamn whiskey hid everywhere. I mean, pints, half pints, fifths. He had them stashed and hidden everywhere. And we never looked for him, you know, didn't get in his whiskey, get pissed. But we were down in the basement. In his basement, there was he had a bathtub and a shower down there. He had retired by then. But when he worked in the mines, he'd come home every day. He'd be just solid black. And he'd go down in the basement. There was a shower, and he'd shower up and clean up before he came into the house. And that basement was kind of like his, it was his grounds, man. That was his spot. And he was down there, and I started talking to him, and he reached behind some damn thing, turned a thing there with a pint of whiskey, and he took a drink. That's the first drink he'd ever offered me. And I sat there, me and him drank that pint of whiskey, and I started talking to him. And I was asking him about the cave-ins, you know, when he'd been in, about being in the mines. And he got out an old carbide lamp, and he always chewed beech nut chewing tobacco. Always had a jaw of that in. I don't give a shit when you got up in the morning, put it in. Just if he wasn't eating, he had it in his mouth. And he took the lid off that, and he put some of that carbide chunks in there. And he spit on it, and he put the lid on it. He said, "This is how we," he goes, "this is how we used to see down in the mines." He said, "It wouldn't tell the OSHA and all these people came along." And he didn't like it because they made him start using the headlamps, these battery headlamps. And he said, "This is how we kept from getting killed, because that carbide was constantly had a little flame of burning up there, and it reflected out, and that was their light. And if the gas would build up somewhere," he said, "there'd be a flash that you'd lose your eyebrows and some hair." But it didn't build up to the point to where it blow up and the mine come down on you. And so I got around to it, and I asked him about, because I know my mom had told me that, you know, they fought, him and my great-grandfather had fought in the Union Wars back there in the mines. And, I mean, that was some big shit. And he told me about it. He's, you know, fighting with the billy clubs and pistols, he said, and they dropped bombs on him out of airplanes. He told about it. And he went on, he just finished it, he said, and he said, "Everything we got is about gone." He said, you know, he goes, "The people, the generations after that," he said, "they just, you know, like the contracts and stuff, they just kept giving it all away." He said, "because they didn't have to fight for it. They didn't know what it was worth." And that's what we're looking at here with our Bill of Rights, people. It's just, you know, some generations, man, what a bunch of, goddamn it, sorry to call them my ancestors, I ain't shitting you. What a bunch of fucking losers, man, that you let something like that important go and you just let it just be tromped on, removed. That's something, the people who gave it to you, they fought, they died, man. They took bullets. You think about how it was back then. You got shot with a bullet in the leg, they'd just automatically cut your leg off. It was a horrid thing. If you've watched The Patriot, you know, think about a cannonball coming through the frickin' ranks. A cannonball taking people's heads off, taking them half in two. And there was like I've said before, 16, 14, 12-year-old kids out there fighting to get this shit so that their progeny could live with freedom and liberty. And boy, that freedom and liberty, I mean, they even went to the point after they'd already fought for 7 years saying, "By God, we'll come to Philadelphia. And we'll finish this shit." They forced the Bill of Rights on there for us, for their progeny. And it's just a few generations. I mean, go back to three generations from me, back to 1933, when they allowed their gold to be taken away from them. They had to understand what that meant. But the thing was, it was just a war when we got so much, because they're giving us so many scraps off the table. It ain't worth fighting a war over. Yeah, it was. It was worth fighting a war over. I mean, how much more? Back in them days, what did them people have to lose? They had something to lose, too. But they weren't going to see themselves live in slavery, and they weren't going to see their progeny live in slavery. So they put up their lives, their most precious possession, their lives, and they fought and they died to give it to us. And here we sit today, I mean, with it just completely shredded. Nothing left but the knowledge that it's what belongs to us. And back in Lexington and Concord, that's all they had. It had been to the point they had goddamn troops there. They were oppressing them. They were taking their property. They were beating them down. They were hanging them. And so finally they were coming to get the gun stash there at Concord. They had come through Lexington and the people met them there on the church green. And they shot the militia up pretty bad. There's a lot of people died. And once they got to Concord, then people knew what happened at Lexington. They were still came out on that goddamn bridge. And they came out and they fought them. And then they got, after the fight started, all that pent-up anger was unleashed. And they shot them up all the way back to Boston, then surrounded Boston and pounded them with cannon. And all this went on for a whole year before the aristocrats who had screwed us in the colonies, who were the king's men, stepped up to hijack what those people with their just pure raw guts and bravery had accomplished. Well, we're just like these son of a bitches I'm listening to over there on the micro effect. The bottom line is, their hijacking here will do nothing. This, all you can do is try to act like, well, you're going to get a better position to cooperate with the communists, so maybe you get to keep your gun, you think. Just like the Russians let them keep them back in 1917, right? Just come in and register. That's all you got to do. They took their guns and took them out to a ditch and put a bullet in their head. This is international communism on its face, and it's not going to stop until we stop it. And it's going to take a generation of sacrifice like it did back in 1775. It's going to take a generation of people just come up and go, well, I'll tell you what, man, I might not live through the day, but by God, I'm going to fight. And if everybody fights, our children will be free. Our grandchildren will be free. Our progeny will be free so long as nobody ever gets weak and accepts scraps from their own table to give up their rights. And that's what, you know, when they talk about this contract, everybody likes to talk, well, they've given these contracts. We've discussed it. We tell you, we've shown you absolutely that these contracts are illegal. Now, they cannot be enforced. They cannot even be written. There's no authority to write a contract that removes a right. The ninth article of the Bill of Rights declares it. Absolutely. You just can't. You can't take those rights. You can't touch those rights. And it's always been right there. And I guarantee you, back when the Bill of Rights was attached to that first Constitution, that the people understood it very well. They understood what every word in it meant. They understood that the Ninth Article said that that federal government, I mean, because that's what they had put in the Federalist Papers. You know, with their argument that you didn't need a Bill of Rights, is that we could never have no power over you. We're going to only operate as, we're going to be here to make sure your rights are never ever violated, and we're going to be here to come together as a united force across the land to preserve those. That's what it was all about, that Bill of Rights, to preserve that. You don't have to write it down. We understand it. That's what we're here for. That's what we're building this federal government for, is to make sure that no outside force or any force ever takes those rights away from you that you fought and died for. What a fucking sham, huh? And then you go through, you know, several generations and coming up on... Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that was me, Henry. Unmuted. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
there.
Quite all right.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say, perhaps being disarmed is not quite as bad as a nuclear war under Hillary.
No, I'd rather have a nuclear war.
I'm talking about the other people that, you know,
Hey man, I'll tell you what back in 1775, those men that were standing there in Concord, they said, I'd rather be dead than allow this. That's what the message was right there. And they fed it to the British through the barrels of their guns, feeding them lead. That message was, no, I would rather be dead than be a slave to a goddamn monarch. And I would rather be dead than be a slave to international communism. I would rather the whole earth be completely destroyed and no life left than the life to have to be living in misery under that dreadable, despicable system. It's better. I mean, there used to be a saying. I mean, when they were pushing it first to go over to across the ocean to kill a commie for mommy in Vietnam, man, it was better dead than red, remember? Better dead than red. People, I mean, that's my generation when I was young. Two of my brothers fought in Vietnam to stop the spread of international communism. 50,000 dead in Vietnam. Boy, it was all right to take those young people and get them blown all to pieces and just, I mean, the most horrid deaths you can imagine for them people to go in the jungles of Vietnam to fight the communists so that it could never get on our shores. That was the selling point, wasn't it? And then, you know, I come to find out once I be a part of this, hell, it's been communism all my life, all of their lives too. That generation that went to Vietnam, that generation that went to Korea to stop the spread of international communism, it was already here. It was a goddamn joke. But still, the insult to the injury. 50,000 of our people dead. That was taught in our school. That's like I said, in fourth grade. That's why they taught us. It wasn't because they had such a big interest in the goddamn Bill of Rights and the Constitution. They wanted to teach us what the communism was, something you had to put your life down to stop, because we were being groomed to go across an ocean and fight in a goddamn jungle here or there or maybe somewhere else to stop international communism. You think about how it was. That's just in my lifetime, people. That's in my lifetime. Back when I was young, people in this country understood, God damn, you die. You do not accept any communist. You see a communist, you kill it. You kill it like a goddamn rattlesnake. You kill it. It will destroy your world. A communist will. And now, hell, they're right out in the open. I just read an article about right here in Communist Oregon, where a communist is coming and just directly attacking that Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is what we die for, people. That is what separates us from God, the third world slaves, is that Bill of Rights, plain and simple. We have watched it be degraded. Go ahead.
I was in basic training back in 1961, and we were told that we were there to fight communism.
Well, absolutely. Like I said, two of my brothers went, and one served on the Enterprise, and the other one was 82nd Airborne. And, man, he was right at the end of it when it was really nasty. My brother Ronnie was, but I mean that. But that's what everybody. I mean, that's what everyone in this country believed. Sitting around there, I remember my dad when we were young. He would always, when we ate at the table, there was no TV turned on or anything. It was the family sitting at the table eating dinner, except when my brother got over there, and then he would wheel that TV up there and turn it sideways by the table because that's when the evening news was on, and he was looking for my brother to see if he'd been killed. And it was all, you know, sold as, like you said, like, man, it was common knowledge, guys. Communism, remember? You stop that. It's the most terrible, dreaded thing that could ever happen to a people anywhere. Look what happened in Russia. Look what happened in China during the 60s. And you actually had the Cultural Revolution going on. The gentleman there just said he was in 61. That's the year I was born. But in 68, like that, you had the Cultural Revolution in China. And I mean, that was all over the thing. Look at the horror. Look at the massacre, the slaughter under communism. Mao Zedong. And then, of course, at the same time, you had the Khmer Rouge with the killing fields in Cambodia. Slaughtering people. Slaughtering people for what they think. They told you straight up, they are going to kill you for what you think. If you will not embrace communism and become a goddamn drone bee and just work your life away in drudgery, they're going to kill you. And this is what we're looking at right now. And they're setting up here at the Salem State House. They're setting in Washington, D.C. Hell, they're setting in every goddamn state house across this country. And we all know it. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
I said, why are they still breathing?
That's my question. I mean, did you fight in Vietnam?
No, sir. Never made Vietnam.
Anybody that was there, I got to believe that this would just be the final straw for them. All the people, I mean, watching your brothers and shit be killed over there, we're fighting them damn communists. We're fighting damn communists. You couldn't, there's no nobler cause could you be fighting for, young man. Go out in that jungle and die to stop that damn dreadful communism. And now here they are right in our goddamn street, like I said, in our state houses, boldly stepping up with their communist dogmas right in your face, just like that shit I read at the first article, people. That is pure-ass communism. That is just saying, we're removing your Bill of Rights. You're going under international communism. I know, it blows me away, you know. A government can take a goddamn person who's just the nicest, you know, easy-going person in the world, and they'll say, well, you've been drafted into the army. So they take you into the army, and then they run you through their basic training, their mind-bending brainwashing, and take you over to a foreign country and tell you to charge a machine gun nest, and you'll do it. But right here on your own soil, here are the real communists, and they're making no bones about it. How would it have been over there in Vietnam if they'd just come on their little squawk box there and had someone who could speak English, you know, Vietnamese, just bring your guns. We've written it down on a piece of paper, all in this jurisdiction of Vietnam. You have to bring those assault weapons over here, and you need to lay them down before us. I mean, shit, what are we looking at here? And what the illusion is this isn't some kind of enemy force against us? When they're telling you they want to disarm you, and you've seen what they do when they disarm a population. It's genocide. And you're standing there waiting on it? I think people need to really step back. I mean, people are so involved in themselves and in their, you know, their I guess they're little worlds within a world, because that's what they've really pushed everybody back into with this gaming and stuff. I noticed that the kids aren't out playing together, and everybody's just got their face in a thing. Maybe that's what it was all about, to, you know, compartmentalize you down right into a single unit, to where you sit there and just, well, as long as I make it through day, if I can dodge this or dodge that, man, I'll tell you what. You Americans out there who understand this, you better get your shit. You better get your guns cleaned. You better get them. You better have plenty of ammo. You better be locked and loaded. And when they come, don't be waiting on them to come and attack you. Have an ambush waiting for them. These are communists. You are well within your rights to kill every goddamn one of them. Well within your rights. It is not only within your rights, it is your goddamn duty to kill every goddamn one of them. They're coming to kill you. Anyways, we made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches, on PBFTT. But, you know, until then, I mean, everybody you see, I mean, confront them with it. Say, are you willing to accept what happened in 1917 Russia, in 1968 China? You're going to allow this shit? Are you coward? What is your excuse, I guess, would be my question, and that is The Word from the Trenches.